नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम फिफ्थ कैंटो चैप्टर 11 एंटाइटल जड़ भरत इंस्ट्रक्ट्स किंग रहुगण टेक्स्ट 13 एंड 14। क्षेत्रज्ञात्मा पुरुषः पुराणः क्षेत्रज्ञात्मा पुरुषः पुराणः साक्षात् स्वयं ज्योतिरजः परेशः साक्षात् स्वयं ज्योतिरजः परेशः नारायणो भगवान् वासुदेवः स्वमाययात्मन्यवधायमानः यथा निलस्थावरजङ्गमानाम् आत्मस्वरूपेण निविष्ट ईशे एवं परो भगवान् वासुदेवः क्षेत्रज्ञ आत्मेदमनुप्रविष्टः। Translation and purport by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. There are two kinds of Kshetragya, the living entity, as explained above, and the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is explained as follows. He is the all-pervading cause of creation. He is full in Himself and is not dependent on others. He is perceived by hearing and direct perception. He is self-effulgent and does not experience birth, death, old age or disease. He is the controller of all the demigods, beginning with Lord Brahma. He is called Narayana and he is a shelter of living entities after the annihilation of this material world. He is full of all opulences. And he is the resting place of everything material. He is therefore known as Vasudeva, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. By his own potency, he is present within the hearts of all living entities. Just as the air or vital force is within the bodies of all living beings, moving and non-moving. In this way, he controls the body. In his partial feature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters all bodies and controls them. Purport. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 15.15. Sarvasachaham Hridisannivishto Mattas Smritirgyanam Apohanam Cha. Every living being is controlled by the Supreme Living Being, Paramatma, who resides within everyone's heart. He is the Purusha, the Purusha Avatara, who creates this material world. The first Purusha Avatara is Mahavishnu, and that Mahavishnu is a plenary portion of the plenary portion of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. Krishna's first expansion as Baladev, and his next expansion as Vasudev, Sankarshan, Aniruddha, and Pradyumna. Vasudev is the original cause of the Brahma Jyoti, and the Brahma Jyoti is the expansion of the rays of the body of Vasudev. Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti कोटिश्वशेष वसुधादि विभूति भिन्नम् तद्ब्रह्म निष्कलम् अनंतम् अशेष भूतम् Govindamadi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami. I worship Govinda, the primeval Lord, who is endowed with great power. The glowing effulgence of his transcendental form is the impersonal Brahman, which is absolute, complete and unlimited, and which displays the varieties of countless planets with their different opulences in millions and millions of universes. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is thus described in Bhagavad Gita. Maya tatamidam sarvam jagadavyakta murtina matsthani sarvabhutani nachaham teshvavastitaha. By me, in my unmanifested form, this entire universe is pervaded. All beings are in me, but I am not in them. This is the position of the plenary expansion of Krishna as the all-pervading Vasudev, Sankarshan, Pradyumna and Aniruddha. Om Ajnanati. There are two kinds of Kshetrajna, the living. These are the words of Jadbharat to Maharaj Rahugana, who, misunderstanding him to be an ordinary servant, had mistreated. But then when Jadbharat saw the intention of Maharaj Rahugana and the sincerity that he was going to the ashram of his spiritual master, or he was going to the ashram to understand about higher spiritual truths, but then not displaying the required qualification, he thought that he might speak. As the light of Bhagavat explains, the great devotees of the Lord are like the waterfall from the mountains. Sometimes they blow full force, sometimes it's not there. Just like when we went to Rishikesh, Haridwar, or Badrinath rather, there devotees pointed to a mountain and said, "This is Bhrugu Dhara." But there was no Dhara. Actually, there was no water there. But just a semblance that water regularly flows there. And it manifests only in some part of the time, not others' time. So similarly, they see that's the expert preacher. He knows when to speak. And when he finds a suitable candidate, he actually speaks. Otherwise, there's no point in speaking. So, though Jadbharat had decided not to speak practically for the rest of his life, but in Rahugana he found a proper inquisitive candidate, but who was kind little misguided. So he decided to speak. And he told Rahugana about his content of his speech being full of dualities, which are absolutely material. And in this way he actually chastised him, reversed back. And Rahugana, understanding, actually humbled himself and got down from the palanquin, fell at his feet, and then submissively put forward some doubts that he had. "You are saying that No one is master, no one is servant. But you have to assume the role of a master. If you are a master, you have to assume the role of master to get things done. You have to be a king. You have to act like a king. Otherwise, how will people advance? How the things of this world will get done? So, you are saying that these dualities don't exist, but I see that these dualities make sense. Otherwise, things don't happen. And when he put forward these sincere questions, inquiries, Jad Bharat started speaking something to the effect of what Krishna spoke to Arjuna in the Gita. He says, you are speaking like learned words, speaking very learned words, but it doesn't befit a king like you. And then he said, basically, it boiled down to that all these dualities exist due to the influence of the mind. And as long as the soul is influenced by the mind, the conditioned life continues. It's been continuing since time immemorial and will continue eternally. Nitya Baddha. Actually, the two kinds of living entities, Nitya Siddha and Nitya Baddha. Now, why is this word Nitya Baddha used? Nitya Siddha means eternally liberated souls who are serving the Lord in the spiritual realm. But Nitya Baddha, eternally conditioned. Why eternally? Because their conditioning is since time immemorial. Or, in other words, it began before the influence of time came about. Influence of time comes about in the material world. But his illusion began before he got conditioned. Because he wanted to lord it over. Then the influence of time came about. Therefore, his conditioning started even before the influence of time. Therefore, he is Nitya Baddha. That's one explanation given by the acharyas. So, and the whole thing, when a person tries to enjoy separately, he's given this mind. And as long as we cherish it, possess it and carry it as something valuable, till then this conditioning continues. Mana eva manushyanam karanam bandha mokshayoho. And then we start analyzing what is good, what is bad. I mean, what is this karmakanda? The karmakanda section, or in the material sense, some kind of rules and regulations that are formed of morality in this world. Morality is actually a temporary conditioning that is brought about by living entities in a society. From an individual point of view, whatever pleases my senses, I say it is good for me. I like it. So I make a rule that this is good and this is bad. But what is the basis? The basis is the body. Whatever is pleasing, I like. Whatever displeasing, I don't like. And such a person becomes absolutely selfish. And he goes to any extent, even at the cost of others' misery, he continues to enjoy. And that is completely illusion state of life. He cannot be happy. Yehi samsparshada bhoga dukha yo na yevate. He can't give happiness because it doesn't touch the soul. But then someone comes and rises above that and says, you enjoy, but not at the cost of others' enjoyment. And therefore, some moral codes are formed. So, for example, you stay in a housing colony. So someone cleans his house, throws it out of the window. It falls into someone else's window. if it is not too close. It may fall somewhere down and the whole area is clean. So therefore the society people come together and say, let's form some rules. From today onwards, everyone should collect this and throw it outside the compound of the colony. So anyone who does that is very pious person from the society's building's point of view. And anyone who doesn't do it is a bad man. But then, is that absolute? You're throwing it into the road, public road. Then the government comes and says, from today onwards, only it should be thrown in the corporation dustbin. So anyone who throws that is considered a very moral person. And anyone who doesn't is immoral. So-called all these rules are simply what facilitates your sense gratification. And whatever causes disturbance to your sense gratification, that is considered bad. Therefore, from the absolute point of view, good or bad, it's absolutely bad. Because you are not the lawmaker. The laws are absolute. We cannot make laws. Only a person who is absolutely independent and the supreme controller can make laws. And therefore, until and unless we know that and live by those laws, we are going to suffer eternally. Sometimes people ask, how does it make a difference whether we know God or not? Be good, do good. This is some kind of philosophy. But what is this be good? From whose point of view? Prabhupada, in his BTG founder, wrote an article, beautiful article called Standard Morality. And he began with a beautiful definition of what is morality. Very crisp, profound, comprehensive definition. He says, morality is the standard of activity by which the supreme authority is satisfied. Such a crisp but profound definition. Morality is the standard of activity by which the supreme authority is satisfied. If he is not satisfied, if you go against him, to hell with all morality. Gopis said that for the sake of Krishna, they gave up all so-called social behavior. Society considers, oh, very nice, very moral, very polished. Because he aborted the child. You know, he's a responsible person. Only two children. About to abort them. Very moral person. But that's in the eyes of the supreme, from the point of view of absolute truth, it's sinful. You have no right. You can't interfere. You can't make laws. That's why Pareshaha, here the definition of the supreme is given. That he is absolutely independent, Swaraj. What does supremely independent means? Means, and what is the meaning of supreme controller? Pareshaha. He says, Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu beautifully explains, when he makes a law, nobody can break the law. Or nobody can disobey the law. And nobody can make a law for him. You have to follow this law only. If anyone can accept that position, that person is the supreme God. When he makes a law, no one can disobey without escaping the results. Abrahma bhuvana loka punaravartino arjuna. For example, he has made a policy, top to bottom, in this material existence, birth, old age, disease, death is a rule. Finish. Nobody, including Brahma, can't avoid. When he makes the laws of, you know, Prabhupada beautifully says, the one particular adjective he used, uses that the, I'm not getting it right now, says the laws which are unbreakable, laws of nature, and the laws of nature, he uses one particular thing, which is impossible to break. You just have to follow. And the Lord is beyond his laws. That's what it means to be transcendental. He's transcendental. He's not bound by these laws. If somebody, a king is beyond the law, they say, he may make some laws. He may be beyond that law. What he has made. Just like a father makes a rule in a home. Everybody should come at 9 p.m. That's all. But he comes at 10. He's justified. Okay. Because he's the breadwinner. He's having so many responsibilities. He's justified. He made the law, but he's above. But he is not above another law. There is some other Ishvara above him. There is some other Ishvara above him who makes law for him. He can't break that law. So, now he's saying, Kshetragya, yes, you may be the controller, proprietor, you feel of this body, and therefore master in so many designations we have formed. It's simply mental concoction. On an absolute platform, you are absolutely simply a servant. Insignificant servant. And the Lord is the only master. That is why in the absolute world, everything is absolute. Spiritual world, everything is absolute. Absolutely, there is only one master. Everyone is absolutely the servant. There is no matter and spirit. Absolutely spirit. That's the absolute world. And everyone knows their position. Absolutely clear. Without any doubt. And therefore, there is that loving reciprocation. But here, all these problems is simply because we don't see the Lord. We don't see Him. Actually, He can be seen by direct perception and by hearing. It starts with hearing, later you can start perceiving. Swayameva spuratyadah. Ata Sri Krishna Madi Nabhavet Grahim Indriyai Sevon Mukhehi Jihuvadav. Swayameva spuratyadaha. So only through scriptures, through representatives of the Lord who present it exactly in spirit, then one can see the laws as laws of God. They are non-different. In the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, the same point is again and again and again brought out. How this absolute truth must be understood. In fact, in the whole of Srimad Bhagavatam, there is no description other than the position of the absolute position of the living entities, and their relationship. That's the only thing. In the first canto itself, all the different beautiful prayers. For example, in the first canto, the prayers of Maharani Kunti Devi, her prayers are so beautiful. She also says the same thing. She is seeing the Lord, but she is not seeing through her material eyes alone. Even though she is seeing, she says that some people, my Lord, can't see you. She says, there is the prayers begin, her prayers, as Krishna is leaving and she is there, she stops him and says, Namasye purusham tu adhyam ishvara prakrite param alaksham sarvabhutanam antar bahir avasthitam. Namasye, I offer my obeisances to purusham. The only Purusha. You are a person and you are the real enjoyer. Everything, Prakriti, is meant for your enjoyment. So even though she is seeing her nephew sitting in, standing in front, she knows he's not my nephew. She knows that. This is not my eternal position. So she immediately recognized. She says, Namaste Purusham tu Adhyam. Ishvara. Ishvaram, you are the supreme controller. And Prakritehe Param. You are absolutely beyond the three modes of nature. And Sarvabhuta Antar Bahir. Sarvabhutanam Antar Bahir Avasthitam. You are situated within every living entity and outside of living entity. Everywhere are you situated. But Alaksham. But you are invisible. He is visible right in front. But she says you are invisible. Why? Why does she say this? Representing an conditioned souls like us. Even if Lord appears, you can't see him. Even though he's inside and outside also, you can't see him. Why? She says, Maya javanika channam agya adhokshajam avyayam nalabhyate mudhadrusha nato natyadharo yatha. Being beyond the range of limited sense perception, you are the eternally irreproachable factor covered by the curtain of deluding energy. You are invisible to the foolish observer, exactly as an actor dressed as a player is not recognized. Maya javanika achannam. Achannam means covered. Covered by Maya. By the external energy. Which comes into influence the moment we want to take the position of the Lord. You can't see the Lord. Because Maharaj Raghuna had that, he couldn't see properly. So Maya Javanika Channam, Agya. Agya means ignorant. Adhokshajam Avyayam. He's standing, but he is Adhokshaja. Aksha, Aksha means eyes. Ja means can be perceived by the eyes. But he can't be seen by this gross eyes. Agya Adhokshajam. Because he is Adhokshaja. He defeats all the other process of seeing directly. Mudhadrusha. Because of this foolishness. Nato natya dharo yatha. He's like an actor. He's standing right in front. You didn't recognize him. You can't recognize. Unless he allows himself to be seen. Tatha paramahamsanam muninam amalatmanam bhakti yoga vidhanartham katham pashyema histriya. Only a person who is sincere and humble and simple, the Lord is easily visible. But if we try with our own great panthastu koti shatavatsara sambragamyo, one can't see the Lord. Prabhupada very nicely writes in the purport to this verse. He said, Krishna is doing superhuman activity. Krishna lifted the Govardhan hill. Krishna did so many things. Krishna is speaking the Bhagavad Gita. The great acharyas are recognizing him. Krishna himself is declaring. But these people can't see. That's the mudha drusha. Avajananti ma mudha manushim tanumashutam param bhavam. Mudha can't recognize. Even though he descends in front and claims himself, the acharyas are claiming he himself is doing some wonderful acts, but you can't see. Why? Because namam duskrutino mudha prapadyante. Actually, what does it mean to see the Lord? What does it mean to see the Lord? Sometimes people think that seeing the Lord means coming in front of the deities. Or seeing the Lord. As far as seeing is concerned, Duryodhan saw the Lord. Hiranyaksha saw the Lord. Hiranyakashipu saw the Lord. But seeing is not through eyes. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena santa sadaiva hridayeshu. Actually seeing means, seeing the Lord means seeing the position of the Lord and seeing your position in relationship with the Lord. And if you see that, you have to surrender. So simply seeing the Lord is not seeing. Seeing means actually surrendering to the Lord. That means you have seen His position, you have seen your position, and you have actually taken shelter. Otherwise one can't see. And then Kunti Devi says that she says, how I was able to see you? What kind of surrender? She's just remembering how the Lord showed His mercy. Only by the mercy of the Lord can we actually see the Lord. There's a story about once Akbar asking Birbal, how can I see the Lord? And this is not some Akbar Birbal story. This is an actual incident that occurred. He asked Birbal, how can I see the Lord? And Birbal said, I will answer you tomorrow. And the whole night he was scratching his head and walking to and fro in his home. His daughter was a devotee from one of the sampradayas. She asked the father, Father, you seem very worried. Birbal said, yeah, so and so has asked, you know, Jahapana has asked. This is the question, how to see. She said, why don't you ask my guru? So Birbal went the next day, crossed the mountain, crossed the river, into the jungle somewhere. And there was a small hut, small little, you know, like 2 feet entrance. He crawled through and he approached and he asked that sadhu that Akbar has asked, the emperor has asked, how can he see the Lord? He said, if he wants to see the Lord, call him here. I will show him. No, emperor or whoever, if he wants to see, he has to come here. So Birbal went. Next day Akbar asked, so Birbal, how can I see the Lord? He said, there's only one way, you have to go and meet him, he will show you the Lord. So Akbar immediately made arrangement and he went there. He went there, he crawled through that small passage and went inside, and the sadhu was sitting with loincloth. And he said, Akbar was actually a very pious man. He respected all the religions. In fact, he wrote a book called Deen Ilahi. He took the best of all and compiled it into something. Anyway, but he was a very pious man, he respected. So he went and asked the sadhu, how can I see the Lord? And the sadhu said, like this. He said, I didn't get you. He said, like this. He said, I don't understand. And then the sadhu explained. You see, if I wanted to see you, the emperor of this whole nation, if a man with a loincloth, if I had to travel through the jungle, travel through the rivers, cross the mountain, and when I came to your doorstep, who knows, the guards would have stopped me, just like Sudama was stopped while going to see Krishna. So, I had no hope. But when you decided to see me, what is difficulty for you? You have so many facilities, you immediately came. Similarly, he said, if you try to see the Lord, it's not possible. Only when the Lord wants to see you, He is 6 opulences. For Him to come in front of you, no barrier. For us to cross through Dharmaloka, Maharloka, Tapoloka, Brahmaloka, pierce through the Brahma Jyoti, we'll get lost. To reach one place from here to somewhere, we'll get lost. We may absolutely get lost, distracted, tempted. But when the Lord wants to come, it's so easy for Him. He just, Gajendra called and immediately He came. It doesn't take even a moment, fraction of a moment for Him. Because actually He's inside also. He just manifests Himself. I'm here. So, it's very easy for the Lord. So, Kunti Devi is actually praying, how you rendered me favor. She says, there is a beautiful verse. Yatha Hrishikesha Khalena Devaki Kamsena Ruddhati Tiram Shucharpita Vimochitatham Nasahatmaja Vibho Tvayaiva Nathena Muhur Vipadganat. O Hrishikesha, master of the senses and lord of lords, you have released your mother Devaki who was long imprisoned and distressed by the envious King Kamsa, and me and my children from a series of constant dangers. By the mercy, Vipad Ganat, of course, the mercy of the Lord appeared in a very different way, in a very unpredicted way, in form of Vipad Ganat, in form of dangers. But actually, the more the danger, more the favor. Why? Because, for example, Devaki was put into prison only once. That was quite a long time though. But then, and Devaki's all the seven sons were killed, six sons were killed. And then the eighth son, Krishna, escaped. But Kunti Maharani, not only her, but her five sons were saved. She received more mercy. Why? Because Prabhupada explains, Devaki's husband was alive, Vasudev. So, she could always take shelter of him. But in case of Kunti, her husband was not there. She was absolutely desolate. And she actually wanted to give up her body. But she lived exclusively to take care of these children. As a service. Actually, she wanted to give her a body in the flames. But then Madhuri said, I don't have that kind of a capacity to see my sons and your sons as equal. But you have that vision. You are very advanced. So please you stay back. So her life was a living sacrifice. Jumping in the fire is at least once for all finished. But living sacrifice throughout life. She says, so much mercy you showed. So much mercy. And she recounts all the miseries that she had to undergo. Imagine, first of all, her husband died. She was absolutely helpless. At least she had so many relatives, everything. But all her family members, all practically most of the relatives, were actually trying to plot to kill the whole Pandavas. So living in a home filled with relatives who are trying to continuously plot to murder, what a situation she was. She says, Vishan Mahagne Purushada Darshanat Asat Sabhaya Vanavasa Krishatah Mridhe Mridhe Neka Maharathastrato Dravnyastratashchas Maharebhi Rakshita. She says, Vishan, first of all, my very dear son Bhima, because Duryodhan was more envious of Bhima than anyone else, because he knew this is the only fellow who can actually defeat me. Very envious. So Vishan, he plotted, gave a poison cake, Vishan. And somehow he escaped that. Krishna protected, Krishna saved. Mahagne, and the whole family along with Kunti went inside that Lakshagraha in Varnavar and it was burned to fire, Mahagne. And after that, just somehow they made the thing and escaped, and then there was this Hidimba, Purushada, man-eating cannibal. And somehow Krishna protected that also and Bhima defeated. Asat Sabhaya, and then the daughter-in-law, royal daughter-in-law, she was insulted in such a unimaginable way. Can you imagine somebody being disrobed right here in an assembly like this of men, one woman being disrobed? Even a stranger will have very, very embarrassment. But everyone is known, and she's not an ordinary some lady from the street. She's actually the princess. What an amount of embarrassment, insult. But she just tolerated Purusha Asat Sabhaya, and everyone, all her husbands are right in front. Powerful personalities, absolutely helpless. Bhishma, Drona and Kripa, all these souls were also there. Asat Sabha, Vanavasa Krishnata, and after that being sent to the right in front of Dhritarashtra, all this is happening. He could have easily said no to this Duryodhan, and immediately this all this thing would have, he would have stopped the gambling match immediately. They could have stopped, but they didn't stop. And such a danger, going into the forest. Kunti also went along. Queen, brought in such royalty, every day begging for food, living various places. Vanavasa Krichrata. Krichrata means very difficult situation. And Mridhe Mridhe Aneka Maharathasrato. In the battlefield of Kurukshetra, so many powerful warriors, all against them. Bhishma, Karna, Drona, Kripa, all these powerful warriors, again and again trying to shoot them. And after everything is finished, just they are trying to go away, and then Drauniastra, Ashwatthama throws a Brahmastra to destroy the whole family. Hare Bhirakshita. So, the more that this kind of situation comes, she says, what is her prayer? She says, Vipadaha Santuta Shashvat Tatra Tatra Jagadguru Bhavato Darshanam Yatsad Apunar Bhavadarshanam. Vipadaha Santuta Shashvat. Let there be more and more calamities. Who can dare go in front of the Lord who has agreed, ask me for any benediction? Because Krishna was standing right there. He was very favorably disposed. If he says yes, it will, and he was standing to fulfill their desires. And she is telling, put me into the miseries again and again. Vipadaha santutaha shashvat. Put more and more. If you were to know that he is going to sanction, the Lord is going to sanction, sometimes we say, my Lord, do the needful. Do the needful, but while doing the needful, take care. Give me enough strength, give me intelligence to see that is coming. But afterwards, you may change the mind. But don't do this. This much is okay. We don't dare, but she's actually seeing. Because during these calamities, our constitutional, helpless, insignificant position is clearly brought to the fore. That's the time when how insignificant, how helpless we are against the power of this material energy is brought out. And therefore, it's good. You can see yourself very clearly. Completely naked. I can x-ray. What is our position? But as long as a person is covered, then it's all nicely covered up. And one can't see. But during such situations, absolutely helpless, with the best things available at your disposal, no one can do anything to you. Only the Lord is actually the only savior. And anything that uncovers this maya and reveals our constitutional position is self-realization, that is mercy. What is mercy? Mercy means you come to know who you are. You come to know who the Lord is. Anything else is not mercy. It is actually disguised form of curse. So-called mercy of this world that we ask for is a disguised curse. Four kinds of people go to Krishna. Sukrita, Artho, Jigyasu, Artharthi, Jnani. Distressed people go, of course, unless they are a Sukritina. If they are not Sukritina, if they are distressed, they'll go take shelter of some drugs or some alcohol or some other nonsensical process. Another source of maya to solve the problems and further get entangled. But Sukritina, if they have some pious credit, then at least Artho, I am in trouble, Krishna, please. Jigyasu, inquisitive. Artharthi, I want something, benediction, or through knowledge. For knowledge they come. But then, they may go away. After the problem is solved, they may go away. But if it is repeatedly there, then repeatedly, constantly, we remember the Lord. Just like when Draupadi was being disrobed. Complete absorption, complete helplessness, complete hopelessness. And the only thing that could save was the Lord's mercy. Actually, that is the truth. Every moment we are absolutely dependent on the mercy of the Lord. But we can't see that mercy somehow. Right now, we don't see the mercy. Because of the false ego, we think that, you know, I adjusted the plan so that I avoided the problem. So that is the mercy of the Lord. She could understand, having gone through these situations, she could see how Krishna reciprocated. She had deep realization. And therefore, she doesn't see the trouble as trouble. The last thing, people are scared to be put in a completely forlorn and helpless condition. But she, because she had this taste, she had higher taste of actually seeing Krishna's mercy. She has tasted that. So, if that is what it costs, I am ready to pay the price. If that's what it means, if that's the only way I get the mercy, I don't mind. Whatever it takes to get your mercy. Padam padam vipadam. The nature of this material is padam padam vipadam. But for a person who wants to see that Lord, any way that mercy comes, but what is stopping that mercy? She says in the next verse, Janmaishwarya Shuta Shribhir Edhaman Amadah Puman Naivarhapi Abhidhatum Vai Tvam Akinchana Gochara. She says, what is the blockage? What that blocks that mercy to see it as a mercy? And what this disguised curse is seen as mercy? What is it? He says, Janma Aishwarya Shuta Shribhir. High birth in a very brahminical, high class family, aristocratic family. Aishwarya, very rich. Shruta, highly learned. And Shribhir, bodily beauty. Naturally, it makes the person very egoistic. Edhamana Madha. And this mother, this intoxication is edamana. It just increases. Because that makes us identify with the body. I am the king and you are a servant. I am a brahmana, you are a shudra. I am very intelligent, you are dull. I am very aristocratic, you are third world countries. Prabhupada, when he went to America, he said, aristocratic birth. For Janma, he didn't say Brahmana. But he said, this also applies to you, he said. Because the whole world, who doesn't want to become a Brahmana? A Shudra wants to become a Brahmana. But in Kali Yuga, because of the Shudra mentality, everyone wants to get a passport, permanent passport of getting a white color. At least I wish I was white in color at least. If not. So, Prabhupada said that you people are, that's also Janma. Aristocratic birth. Because everyone wants to be like you. That's a perverted understanding. So, Janma, Aishwarya, very wealthy in terms of community, in terms of individual, in terms of nation. Shruta, highly learned, so difficult to preach to the scientists. Because Maya Aparta Jnana. Because they can actually break the atoms, because they can manipulate matter and control matter to some extent, they can't understand that somebody is above who is manipulating their brain and making them manipulate this matter. They can't see that they are also puppets in the hands, they are moved by someone. So, why it is intoxication? Why it's intoxication? Because it makes you think you are the controller. It's a fact. You can break the law of nature. Moon expedition. Actually, I can go. Without doing. But in tamoguna, I will go up. That's demonic mentality. I'll be the controller. I will not follow the law and I'll get the required thing. That's the mentality. Shribhir and bodily beauty. So, edhamana madah puman, naiva arhati. What is the intoxication? In fact, the whole material civilization is increasing this fever. Is increasing this fever because it makes you conscious of the body and extensions of the body. You know, say mohoyam aham mamet. And because of that intoxication, in an intoxicated state, na eva arhati, he doesn't become qualified. Arha. Arhati means qualification. For what? Abhidhatum. Abhidhatum means crying out with feeling. Helpless. Abhidhatum. Why? Tvam akinchana gochara. Gochara means to become visible, to be approachable. To whom can it become approachable? Who are materially exhausted. Akinchana. What does this word akinchana means? Kinchana means kinchit, something. But akinchana means absolutely nothing. Akinchana. Nothing. That means he knows that nothing is mine. Absolutely nothing belongs to me. It all belongs to Krishna because he is the controller. And such a person, because he knows nothing is there, he sees everything as a mercy of the Lord. So therefore, Kunti Maharani says, Namo akinchana vittaya nivritta guna vrittaye atma ramaya shantaya kaivalya pataye nama. Namo akinchana vittaya. Vittaya, you are the property of the impoverished. Because a person who is impoverished is absolutely helpless. Every moment he has to be dependent on the mercy of the Lord. Prabhupada mentions the story of Sanatana Goswami here. He had this touchstone who had thrown into the refuge. And this person came and asked him. He said, take that. He took it. But then he was wondering, why is thrown in a pile of refuge touchstone? Then he went and asked Sanatana Goswami. Sanatana Goswami said, because I have much more better thing, and that is the holy name. So Prabhupada writes in the purport, actually, for a person like Sanatana Goswami, that piece of stone, that touchstone, was, he also saw that as a Krishna's thing. It's also connected to Krishna. Nirbandha Krishna Sambandhe Yukta Vairagya. He knew that touchstone is very costly. He could have used in Krishna's service. But Prabhupada writes, for Sanatana Goswami that didn't make any difference. For us neophyte devotees, he had to teach the lesson. Therefore he threw it there. That if it is not, can be used in Krishna's service, then that is actually a hindrance, a stumbling block on the path of devotional service. Why is anything material dangerous? Anything that is material, property, is dangerous because nivritta gunavrittaye. We are all gunavritta. The moment we possess something, the influence of the three modes of nature comes into us. But Krishna is akinchana vittaya, one who is absolutely impoverished, or at least knows that under all circumstances, whether he is Yudhishthira Maharaj, emperor of the whole world, or he is Kolavecha Sridhar, he is aware of one thing, that actually nothing belongs to me. If the deep conviction is there, and then just whatever is necessary to maintain and preach whatever, if you do that, then we are safe. Otherwise, the nature of matter, the nature of material things is subtly it influences. It will influence our consciousness in the three modes of nature. And such a person cannot develop taste for chanting the holy name. Because you get a taste elsewhere. That sense of thing comes. So, nivritta guna vrittaye. So only a person who feels like that can actually remain free. Padmapatra, like a lotus leaf, in the world but not of the world. Because he knows, nothing actually belongs to me. It all belongs to Krishna. And if it is not useful for me, I don't have to do anything with it. So Prabhupada writes in the purport very beautifully, he says, the Lord is attached to the devotees are attached to the Lord. So only a akinchana and nivritta gunavritta, whose nivritta means absolutely aloof from the three modes of material nature because of not having possession of anything which makes that ego come up. So such a person, there is a wonderful reciprocation. To others, the Lord actually does not reciprocate. He is Atmaram, he is satisfied. And only to Atmaram devotees, there is reciprocation. Because Kunti was absolutely Atmaram, in the sense that she was satisfied in any situation, expecting the mercy of the Lord in any circumstances, there was so much reciprocation by the Lord. For others who may approach, they get what they want. But they don't get Krishna's mercy. But only pure akinchana, nivritta gunavritta, such a person, Atma Ramaya Shantaya Kaivalyapataya Nama. Kaivalyapati means master of the monists. He is not, for the monist, they enter into the Brahman effulgence. But for the devotees of the Lord, they enter into his eternal pastimes, which are not at all material. So, through these prayers, again and again, repeatedly, in various different ways and angles, the same message is brought out that rising above the dualities as Maharaj Rahuguna had fallen into and justifying certain activities in the name of morality and scriptural, even you can quote scriptures also to justify. He was telling, I'm a king, you have to do it. These things are to be done. But he says that until and unless this consciousness is achieved and we recognize the absolute position of the Lord and our absolute position and know our position absolutely on an absolute platform, this reciprocation of mercy cannot happen. And till then, the bondage of this material world will continue. So therefore, in various another wonderful ways, and Maharaj Rahuguna or Jadabharat concludes this later sections. He says, this is only possible, he says, through having understood your position as a servant, by serving the Lord and his bona fide representatives. By that service, actually one comes to that position of realizing. And then the mercy of the Lord comes. Sevon mukhe jihvadav svayameva spuratyada tesham evanukampartham aham ajnana jamtamaha nashayami atma bhavasto jnana deepena bhasvada. When Krishna sees that in our heart, to that extent he removes all the ignorance, and to that extent that curtain is removed. Just like when the curtain is pulled, we can see. He can see us right now. Even though curtain is there, he can see all of us. But we can't see him. So he removes the curtain or he tells his representative. When he moves the curtain, then only we can see. Namo Pankaja Nabhaya, Namo Pankaja Maline, Namo Pankaja Netraya, Namaste Pankaja Angre. That is the way to see. And Prabhupada writes in one beautiful purport in that, he says, for foolish people, less intelligent people, temple is very important. Because in the temple, it shows, the mere temple shows the authority of the Lord. Bowing down before in the temple shows that we accept the authority of the Lord. And that's the place where we hear about the glory of the Lord and hear about our word. But for the very advanced devotees, their meditation is through constant, through service. And later in another purport he says, but foolishly you should not think that I am above this. We need this. We need the association. We need the tangible place where we can actually do that devotional service. Kalau Shudra Sambhava. We are all in that situation. Tepi Yanti Paramgatim. Striyo Vaishyastatha Shudras. So this is the mercy. Actually it's manifest in a way one we can actually access tangibly in advance. Hare Krishna. So any questions or comments?
Hare Krishna, that last sentence of the translation of this shloka, could you explain to me what it means?
Last line of this translation? In this way he controls the body. In his partial feature, the Supreme Personality of Godhead enters all bodies and controls them. Is that the one? Partial feature means Paramatma. Paramatma is his partial feature. Kala, Amsha and Kala. Three Vishnus. Yaseka Nishvasita Kala Mathavalambya. Jivanti Loma Vilaja Jagadan. Vishnur Mahasaisha Kala Visheshu. Krishna expands as Baladev, from Baladev, Narayan, Narayan to second Sankarshan, quadruple expansion from there to Mahavishnu, who is the super soul of the whole cosmic manifestation. Then he creates each Brahmanda. And the Brahmanda, the super soul is Garbhodakshaya Vishnu. Then he creates so many living entities. And that super soul he enters as Kshirodakshaya Vishnu. So that's his expansion of his expansion of his expansions. So in his partial feature he enters the body and controls. Upadrishta, Anumanta, Bharta, Bhokta, Maheshwara, Paramatme Tichapyukto, Dehesmin Purusham Param. One Purusha is a tenant. Stri or Purusha, we are all Purusha because we are tenants. We own this body. On lease, 99 years lease. Yeah, we have this body. But then, the real controller, we have no final say in this matter. So many things we can't do. But he is the actual proprietor, owner. So he is the, Paramatma is the actual controller in that. Is that clear?
Hare Krishna.
Anyway.
Prabhuji, you said there's something called the absolute law. Prabhuji, in everyday life, we come across multiple situations to choose from. Now, how does one be sure that you're following the absolute law?
Actually, the laws of God are the scriptures. That's the first thing. The laws of God are scriptures. This is absolute. But then, according to time, place and circumstance, the principles, how to apply them, that varies. And to know there is a spirit of the law, and there is a letter of the law, right? You agree? There is a letter of the law and there is a spirit of the law. Now, if you simply follow the letter of the law without understanding the spirit, you become a ritualist. But if you understand the spirit but neglect the rituals, then you become neglectful. So after understanding the principles, You have to apply it. Now, that is carried. The essence, the spirit of scriptures is carried by the unbroken chain of disciplic succession in the parampara. They carry the spirit of the law. And that spirit can be only understood through the current connection in the parampara. That is the guru. So, Shastra Sadhu Guru Vakya. It funnels down like this. Shastra is different shlokas for different folks. For all different qualifications, all kinds of rules and regulations. But then, the essential thing, the spirit, what is the main purpose? Vedaisya sarvair ahameva vedyo. Ultimately, the whole purpose of law and rule and things to know Krishna. So, what does Krishna want? How will be Krishna pleased in this particular? By following it or by disregarding it? What will please Krishna? The essence of law is to become, because the gopis broke the law. Right? So many people. Arjun broke the law on the order of Krishna. Yudhishthir broke the law and spoke lies on the order of Krishna. The law is meant to ultimately surrender to the lawmaker. So that principle is brought out by the acharyas in the parampara. And the current connection teaches us how in our day and time to apply that. Therefore, first of all, we have to understand the heart of the law by Gya Bhagavata Pada Bhagavat Sthane. You have to study the Bhagavat from a person Bhagavat who can explain the essence. And after understanding that, till you don't know, you need constant guidance. Till you directly have a connection with the Lord in the heart. Then, moment to moment, He is guiding you. Then, you are transcended. Traigunya Vishaya Veda, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna. Nirdvandu, Nitya Sattvastu, Niryoga Kshema. Niryoga Kshema. Now for Yoga Kshema, you have to follow all the rules. Niryoga Kshema. Ananyas Chintayantumam Yajana Paryupas Tesham Nitya Yoga Kshemam Vahamyam. They know. He's Yoga Kshema, he will take care. So Ananya, I have to engage in it. That's spontaneous. Till then we follow all the rules and regulations in the spirit and continue on as a rules and regulations. So, coming to your point, the first thing is study the scriptures in parampara under a bona fide representative and scrutinize by inquiring submissively and practicing it. The more you practice, the more you realize the dilemmas that come across. Then you clarify, then you clarify, then you clarify till you understand the essence. And then, because moment to moment the situations will change. You will come into a situation which is not described in the scriptures. Like for example, we were discussing the other day. One person asked, where does it say in the scriptures, don't see television? Napashyatam TV. Video. Whatever. Where does it say in the scripture? No, it should not. So you can justify, you know. But the dhyayato vishayan pumsa sangasteshu pajayate. So many things like that. Where does it say onion and garlic in the Bhagavad Gita? Not should be eaten. People ask like that. So that if you understand the heart, tomorrow a new instrument will be manufactured, which is not yet written by Prabhupada also. A new instrument may come. But we have to judge by its influence upon us, whether it is favorable or not favorable. So the essence must be understood and scrutinizingly followed. That's in the Upadeshamrita, that word Niyamagraha. Agraha and Agraha. Agraha means simply accepting for the sake of accepting without understanding the principle. That is ritualistic. But Agraha means to neglect thinking that I am beyond this. So to neglect or simply accept, both are false. And to understand that, Sangatyagat, what is that? Utsahani, tattat karma pravartanat sangatyagat, sato vrittehe. Sato vritte means following in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. You have to see the lives of Mahajans. Mahajano yenugata sapantha, otherwise you will be bewildered. How to apply the law? Dharmasya tattvam. You know, tarko apratishto shutayo vibhinna. Different people will give different interpretation. But following the footsteps of the Mahajans, that is a safe path. Royal road. Back home, back to Godhead. Srinathji Prabhu, you would like to add something to this? Thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Granthraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Go Primanandi. Hari Hari.